welcome back to Mother Tongue, your extra set of eyes, ears and finger on the pulse for all parents around the world. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Sarah. We are your co-hosts. We catch up weekly, chatting with experts, people of interest and mamas from around the world to discuss everything relating to parenthood.
Listen in to hear more on navigating mamahood, the products we swear by and the experiences we've been through during pregnancy, motherhood, work and beyond.
Let's get going, shall we?
Fair germs of charm. We've actually recorded this three times, guys.
First time you couldn't hear me. Second time.
Get that mosquito! Fucking thing. Did he get it?
No.
Did I just get your infected nail?
Oh, don't.
Sarah's got three infected nails.
And you had an infected one last week.
I know.
It's just grim.
Mine's actually, I mean, it's not quite back to normal. I think it's on my back.
Don't sit back. People won't be able to hear you.
I know, but I've got to... Squash it.
On your white chair.
I know.
No, first time, you couldn't hear me. Second time, my mic wasn't working. Second time, Marianne forgot to plug the cable in.
No, we don't blame it on Marianne, okay? Sarah set the equipment up, blaming it on Sarah.
Marianne got her laptop out.
Fair enough.
Didn't connect it.
I didn't.
Third time is a charm.
It's been a long day, guys. We're going to tell you all the same stories that we discussed 5 minutes ago. But yeah, it's been a big day. I'm leaving for the UK tomorrow for 10 days in sunny old England. Woo-hoo. I'm very excited about the 13 degrees and wind that I'm going to be embracing for the next 12 days. But yeah, no, I was just explaining to Sarah, it's been one of those days. It's been one of those weeks, actually. It's just been busy preparing to travel with all the packing and everything else that comes with traveling.
Doing 2 weeks' work in one?
Yeah, doing 2 weeks' work in one. I mean, thank God it's Eid next week, to be honest, because actually I might be able to switch off and get a bit of a break, which would be nice. But yeah, there was that. And then also Isla has not been very well and my husband has been traveling. But I did see a really great doctor today who has hopefully diagnosed Isla's issues, or the constant cough, the Dubai cough, as it were. So hopefully we're on the road to recovery. Turns out she has an ear infection as well. So we're on the antibiotics. So tomorrow might be a bit ropey on the plane, but hopefully after a few days, she might eventually stop coughing because the kids have to share a room when we go back to the UK. So ideally...
What is the longer term issue, the cough?
So they think it could be asthma, but obviously you can't really diagnose asthma at such a young age, but they treat it like it's asthma. And then if it's something that she grows out of, then great. Then if not, then it's actually like proper asthma, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He did also say that it could be a bacteria issue and it's just the case of like treating the bacteria. Oh. But he said it was very common for kids who... basically have had RSV or croup in like the first couple of months of life when their lungs are still like
developing.
Yeah, well, I guess getting used to the outside world. So she had RSV really bad when she was 5 weeks old and ended up in hospital in the UK, and she's been coughing ever since. That's and we've had like multiple hospital visits, yeah, like overnight stays. So yeah, I'd just quite like to get to the bottom of it. I mean, to be fair, as she's getting older, she's getting better. I mean, I don't remember if you remember this phase when she used to get a really bad cough, she'd also vom.
Do you not remember? We'd finished recording one day, she was in the high chair and she started like exorcist style projectile vomiting across the room. And at first we thought it was funny. And then you started freaking out and you're like, no, she's choking.
Yeah, she was really young, right?
She was tiny, but the amount of sick, it was literally like the exorcist, like projectile across the room. And you're like, no. Something's stuck. Something's not right.
I went to hospital.
You did?
Yeah. So that was actually kind of the first time that she started coughing that would then lead to vomiting. Mm. Anyway, it became a much more regular recurrence after that. And she always used to do it just as I put her in her bed at night when she was all clean. And then she just... I mean, you saw it.
Yeah.
Like everywhere, projectile vomit all over her cot and all over herself. And then she'd smile and laugh and hee hee. And I'd be like, no, fuck, no.
Yeah, bath time again, change, bedding change.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So your daughter's good at the projectile vomiting, and then you have an epic story that you just told me about Rafa.
I was saying to Sarah, oh, I feel like the story the second time around is not going to have the same impact, but hey, I'm going to tell it anyway. So yeah, we hosted quite a lot over Easter weekend, and it was marvelous. I love to hate to host, so it seems. And I got quite stuck in on Saturday. I was quite a few drinks deep, and my son announced to me that he needed a poo, which he often does. He's like, "Mummy, I need a poo." I'm like, "Great, go have your poo and then come back." And then he will shout to me, "Mummy, I'm done." And then that's my cue to go and wipe his backside, because, you know, motherhood, so glamorous. He shouted, "Mummy, mummy, I'm done." So off I trot in my white shorts, half cut.
Okay.
I trotted in, half cut. Next thing I knew, I was on the floor, like slipped in something, and I'm splat on the floor. And I was literally like, "Oh my God," in my like semi-drunken state. I was like, "How did I get here?" And then I turned to look at Rafa, and he went, "Mummy, you slipped in my poo." And I literally picked my hands up off the floor and looked at them, and they were covered in diarrhea. And I was literally like, "Oh my God." I mean, it was one of those moments. I was like, I cannot believe that I've just slipped and fell in my child's shit. And he found it hilarious. My white shorts, on the other hand, did not find it as funny. Neither did my backside, which was so sore. So yes, that's how Easter Saturday ended for Marianne. I don't know whether they've just drunk too much pool water or what, but my God.
I used to find when Bodie was younger, if we were at the pool for a long periods of time, he would get the shits.
Yeah.
I think they drink a lot of pool water.
Yeah. I think this is it, because they also swam a lot last week, a lot, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they were in the pool, and both of them had quite jippy tummies. But seriously, what really like blew my mind is the fact that he clearly shat on the floor, but then still felt the need to go and sit on the loo and tell me to come wipe his bum. And I was like, "But you've already pooed and it's not in the loo." So yeah, anyway, it was delightful. Just brought me straight back down to ground and reminded me how glamorous motherhood really is.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was great. That was that. Hopefully there'll be no pooing on the floor anytime soon. Actually, speaking of pooing on the floor, Rafa once had norovirus on a plane. Rafa's not normally very sick. This day he was sick, and we'd upgraded. This was back when we only had one kid, and we'd upgraded ourselves with points to business class. And as we were taking off, Adam went, "Oh, I'm starting to feel really dodgy." And I was like, "Oh God." He was like, "I'm just going to have lie down." I was like, "Okay." So he literally rolled over in his business class seat, put his little thing up. Bye-bye. Right. So here I am with my child, who he'd been sick twice before we got on the plane. But he wasn't like really sick. He was fine. Anyway, I was like, "Right, I'm just going to like entertain him for a bit." I put him on the floor and I was watching a movie, and I was like, "Oh, this is quite good. We're like 10 minutes in, I'm watching my movie. Rafa's playing on the floor." I was like, "This is great." And then all of a sudden I was like, "Oh, my feet's a bit soggy."
Oh my God.
And I was like, "Why is it a bit soggy?" And I looked down and there is diarrhea shit that has come like up the back of his nappy and is rolling down the aisle in business class, just diarrhea shit. And I was literally like, "Holy fucking Maloney." It was everywhere. I was like,
was the flight busy?
Yes. Oh. I was shouting. I was like, Adam, get up. No. It was terrible. It was really, really bad. And Adam kind of like, you know, when you like hold them out and there's like just shit dripping down from him. And I was like, "Oh my God." He was happy as Larry, but I've never seen so much poo. And at this age, he was probably a year just about to turn one. And I was like,
that's the thing. Then they're moving as well. It's worse.
It was disgusting.
I feel sorry for all the other passengers.
I feel sorry for, yeah. And I still feel quite sorry for myself. It was not my finest day. God, lots of poo stories. Too many to tell. Anyway, let's move away from the poo and talk about this week's episode, which is a fab one. We're speaking to two super inspirational women about their entrepreneurial journey in Dubai.
And they are very inspirational because they have started lots of businesses and every time are very successful. So it's very interesting to hear from them about their journey, how they met, how they found this gap in the market and have created this niche business.
Especially for you, because Sazi over here is setting up by herself. So all the inspo for you in this episode, hey?
It was one of the things that gave me that nudge to be like, just do it. Because at the end of the episode, we had a chat, didn't we? And they were like, just go for it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm maybe I should.
Yeah.
So.
And here you are.
When I'm incredibly successful, I can thank these ladies and you who've all given me a little nudge.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, I think, Sarah, without further ado,
let's get going, shall we?
In this week's episode, we have the pleasure of speaking to two lovely ladies who saw a gap in the market in Dubai and in 2020 created a company where they design, manufacture and deliver beautiful bespoke luxury furniture. Having previously worked in the fashion industry for many years, their products ooze European minimalistic style, but at affordable prices. These business owners are also mums, and today we discuss everything from the mum juggle, starting your own business, and how to manifest what you want. We are so incredibly excited to welcome Nikki and Karen to Mother Tongue. How are you, ladies?
We're fantastic. Thank you so much. And we're so excited to be here in the HQ.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on. We've been a little bit nervous, honestly.
I was about to say, are you feeling the nerves?
Yeah, get the AC on.
No, it's we're really excited to talk to you guys, but yeah, a little bit nerve-wracking, but I'm sure we'll...
I love this. I love people come into the studio and they're like, oh my God, like I'm going to sweat. I'm so scared. I'm so nervous. I'm like, don't be.
Have a little chat with us.
Yeah, Zach, do you think we look intimidating?
No. I think it's all the tech.
I think you can come across a bit more intimidating than me. Sometimes you can put like it's the face and I'm like, oh, here she goes.
The concentration face.
Yeah, it's the concentration.
Which
I love
could
it.
Be I love bitch it. Face.
But we're really lovely, I promise. We're going to have a great chat. But before we get into all things living, life, business building, kids, can you start by telling us a little bit about yourselves and why you came to this fabulous place called Dubai?
Well, I'll start. So yeah, I've been in Dubai for nearly 5 years. Initially, I came over here to work as a fashion buyer. And over that time, things took a different course. Myself and Nikki obviously teamed up and started our own company.
How did you meet?
Well, there is a story actually to know.
Is there?
Yes. Well, I used to be in fashion as well. And I used to buy for a company here and I used to buy from the UK, maybe to go home and actually see the family at the same time. But I was in Karen's office and she just, well, you can tell the story.
Well, basically I used to head up a fashion team for a company called Quiz Clothing in the UK. And I seen this girl and I was like, she looks really nice. I think I'll go and introduce myself. So basically, Nikki was looking at the collections and I designed all the collections and I thought, I'll just go and like, you know, talk her through them a little bit. So she was with the international buying team and I don't work in that at all. So anyway, I just introduced myself and we exchanged details and we kept in touch.
Yeah, and then about, I think 3 years later, she messaged me and says, I'm coming to Dubai. And
oh my God.
I was like, oh, okay. Like, I sort of remember you. But yeah, no, we kept in contact. And then she moved out here. She was a buyer as well. And then, yeah, we just kind of became friends, really. That was where it starts. It was a friendship to begin with.
I mean, before we get on to Palm Living, you actually built another business first together, didn't you?
Yeah.
So how did that come about? At what point did you think, oh, you know, we've kind of known each other from across the pond. Ooh, why don't we start a business together? Because that's bold, by the way, especially with two women.
Yes.
I think sometimes it can be a tricky relationship to navigate.
Well, it was a marketing agency called The Social Status. And I had that business for maybe 3 years. And then COVID hit, everything was shit, basically, excuse the French. I lost a lot of clients through that. And then Karen was kind of at a loose end. She wasn't sure what she wanted to do. And I just said, come and help me. Basically, I needed extra hands to get it going again. And we just kind of teamed up from that respect.
Yeah. So basically, I was sort of over the travelling and the buying. And I'd done it for actually 18 years. Nikki was always like, I done all these really cool things. And I was a bit like, how did she not go to work? Anyway, so yeah, she was working, but like doing like influencer trips, photo shoots, and I was stuck in the office and I was a little bit jealous, to be honest. But when she said like, let's put our heads together, do this, I was a bit scared. I was like, oh, I don't know. But luckily I definitely took the plunge and the hard work paid off. And with the connections we both had from the UK, we were able to do a lot of like photography and content shoots here and create really good content for social media websites. With all the models and everything, we had at our fingertips, all the locations.
And yeah, everyone wanted to shoot in Dubai because it's such a fabulous place. So we would just get people messaging saying, you know, can you do a shoot for us and just content dump? And then a lot of people would want their social medias sort of taken care of. So it was a social media agency basically. So that's what we did.
And specializing in fashion photography mostly because we had worked both in fashion and when I worked at Quiz, I did a lot of campaigns with like TV shows as well. Like I did some campaigns for The Only Way Is Essex. We did Love Island. So I was sort of used to doing a lot of location shoots and styling and Yeah, just with all the experience we had, it just made a really good partnership, actually.
And sounds fab.
Yeah, and it was such good fun. And but then, obviously, as time went on, we sort of got into interiors as well.
I wanted to ask, so I feel like we were kind of the same. So when we've known each other for a while, but kind of through our kids were mates. And then it's a funny thing when you kind of get to that point, you're like, actually, I'm going to go into business with you. Like, how did that come about? Because obviously, sometimes I actually think it's much better when you don't know the person as well to go into business with them. Because then...
Don't go into business with friends. That's what they say, right?
Well, this is kind of true, because
it's
then at least it's...
part ways, right? If it doesn't work.
Yeah. I don't think it's that. I think you then learn how to build a business relationship before you build your friendship. Yeah. And I think in business, it's more important to have it that way around, because when you have the friendship first and then the business, you're always putting the friendship in front of the business and always thinking, oh, I don't want to offend my friend and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And obviously it can turn into the most beautiful friendship. But did you ever feel anxious or nervous about going into this partnership when you didn't really know each other that well?
I mean, by the point we joined forces, I had been here for 2 years. So we kind of did know each other quite well. And yeah, of course, it's always a bit daunting to work with a friend because, you know, if things go wrong and stuff like that. But I had a lot of trust in Nikki. We actually were neighbours as well. We actually lived both on the Palm. We were literally around the corner from each other. So we were kind of like almost always in each other's lives daily.
Yeah.
Even before we worked together. And yeah, I mean, obviously, we can't say that we've never disagreed on anything, because that would be a huge lie. But I think we know each other well enough now to figure out how to manage each other, and always, like, you know, try and think of the company first before ourselves. And you'll never really go far wrong.
Yeah, very mature.
Put your
sometimes.
No, we definitely have had our ups and downs over the last few years. But I mean, we've stuck together, and we know that we've got really opposite in a lot of ways, but same in others. So we
compliment,
do balance
each other.
People say that, like, you guys have got a good relationship.
We've yin
got
to the yang.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Like, I'm a Sagittarius, and
me too.
And oh, are you?
Me three.
Oh, really?
Three Sagittarius on the table.
She's an Aquarian, so it, you know, we're quite fiery and strong, and she's a bit more like creative, and it just works.
I'm a bit of a hippie. I'm probably not, but I'm quite like a chilled. And I laid back, and he's like, come on. And I'm like, oh my
I'm
God.
Doing like a million things at the one time.
Throwing everything at me, and I'm like, hang on.
Yes, yeah, so this is me. Million things at once. What is an Aquarius? When's your birthday?
January.
Oh, God, so very close.
In the month, it's close. But very different.
Except my partner's actually Sagittarius, so is my mum. She's Nikki and her husband. So I'm like,
you definitely gravitate to Sagittarius.
I'm like, I get them.
You were friends, and then you moved over, and then you did the social content together. When did you then move, and you obviously had the fashion background, when did you then move away from that and think, let's start a completely new business in a completely different sector together?
With an April spritz on the balcony. Correct, if we're honest.
I mean, the best way to start any new business. Love this.
I mean, when I say April spritz, maybe times six, seven. Yeah. And we decided that there was a gap in the market. To be honest, every weekend we would go shopping together, because we both moved into new homes, and we were like, we need furniture. We'd come back every Sunday. My husband would be like, where's the stuff? What are you doing? I'm like, we cannot find anything. Like, we just couldn't find anything. And that's when we thought, well, just do it ourselves then.
Yeah, I mean, with there being a gap in the market, it was very much like, it was either too gaudy and traditional or very, very expensive. So there was nothing really in the middle. And we both lived on the Palm, hence the name.
Yes,
yeah. Palm Living. And I had lived actually in a furnished apartment, and I hated it through COVID. I was like, oh, this is horrible. So as soon as COVID finished, moved to the Palm, empty apartment, not a stitch of furniture. I was like, okay. So with the process of us both furnishing our own places, we realised it was quite difficult. And with our backgrounds in sourcing and fashion, it just became quite a natural progression. And
we'd both had enough of fashion. Like, we'd done it, you'd done it for longer than me.
20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't want to, hence the reason I set up the social status, to move away. But it's still in the design aspect, the fashionable aspect, because we are very on trend. Yeah. So yeah, like Karen said, it was a natural progression for us.
Mm. So what was your goal when setting up Palm Living?
It was really to create something that was our own and create a gap. And there was a gap in the market to fill.
Mm.
It honestly started very, very small.
Yeah, if you had the crystal ball, as they say, yeah. would I think we'd be sitting here today discussing this?
No.
4 years on almost, like, and where we are today, like, it absolutely not. Like, it's amazing, like, with the people we've met and the customers and the and the staff and everything. Like, it's a pinch moment actually for me and both.
I still think it's a bit like, how did we do this? But it there was a lot of hard work involved, and there wasn't like, we didn't start with a business plan. We didn't have a strategy. Like, literally, we just were like, oh, we'll create nice content and sell things. And actually, we started off, like, the first thing I think we ever sold was, like, a vase and flowers and some Pampas. And it started on a very small scale. And as we went, a few people went, oh, do you guys do interior design? And I was like, yeah. So we kind of just started to then furnish people's homes, design them. Then we were sourcing furniture, meeting suppliers. And it all kind of rollercoastered into that.
Snowballed into bigger business.
Exactly.
So the interiors kind of came first, and then you started making the bespoke furniture afterwards?
It came hand in hand, yeah. Really. They both went alongside each other. We loved doing the interiors. The first job, actually, I'll tell a lie, we didn't like it. It was difficult. It was a totally different thing to what we'd done before. And then we started looking at online courses, and we educated ourselves, but we found, again, it wasn't so far away from the fashion. So then we grew to love it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was at first, it was a bit of a kind of throw yourself into the deep end. But like, as we were doing the design for people, again, we were starting to make things for the clients. And then we were taking the content, and then we were remarketing them. So we could put them on Instagram and boost them. So kind of all came hand in hand as we created, we marketed. And obviously with having the marketing agency in the background, that really helped us.
Sure.
So our whole business really started on Instagram.
Yeah. Still is, like, our biggest source of clients come through our Instagram.
Exactly. And then we got the website, and then obviously we got the showroom. So things sort of, it moved really quickly after we sort of realised how much more we could do. We got messages non-stop, like, where's your showroom, where's your shop, where's your... And it was like, we did a lot of WhatsApp at the time, because a lot of our ads went to WhatsApp. And honestly, it was like we were literally being told, like, to open it.
I think at one point there was 10 people in my house, and my husband just went, enough.
Yeah.
Enough. Get down to Alcozy, get yourself a showroom, so basically.
People used to come, like, to the house, because we'd kitted our whole houses out in our own brand, and they would come and look. And we did lots of business that way. And honestly, looking back, it was actually quite fun.
Yeah.
Come to the house, and, like, I like to connect with people and chat, and so I loved having people come into the house. It was like having our own little shop. But obviously then we did realise that to do it on a more professional scale, and to have the other things we wanted to sell, like sofas, beds, we really needed to have a place. Nobody was really going to buy a sofa without sitting on it. And
that space.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was really a natural progression to open the space. And that's when things really started to...
Boom.
Yeah.
Can I ask, before we get on to motherhood and all that delightful stuff, take it in turns, which is your favourite bit of running this business?
For me, it's the people, like, in terms of this, our end people. Like, I do love the clients, but Can is more client facing. But I love training the staff, like, getting them up to speed with what they should be doing. The back end girls, like, making sure they've got everything on lockdown with, like, our factories. And I just love watching the girls and guys, but mostly girls in our company evolve, and really giving them sort of a sense of, like, independence and, you know, we can do this sort of thing. That's one. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, it's that is a really good part as well. Like, watching the girls come along and they do well and they finish the projects. For me, it's definitely the satisfaction of finishing the projects.
Yeah,
like, I'm really hands on at the projects and with the clients. So yeah, when we're doing a handover and we've got the house all ready and we've put all the final accessories and I step back and I'm just like, yeah. And then obviously when the
and then sends me the pictures, and I'm like, I'm brilliant.
when the clients, like, take the home back and they're just like, thank you so much. Like, one of our really first really big clients, like, I always remember this, she said to me, she'd moved here from Australia. She's like, you really changed my life. I was so stressed. I moved to Dubai, and we did, like, a lot of
our house.
Yeah, nearly all of it. Maybe like 85%. We made all bespoke furniture. And she was like, I'm so glad I met you and thank you so much. And yeah, it was a great project to work on, actually. But it just made me think, oh, I really love what I do.
Aww.
Yeah.
And you're both mums, so how do you juggle the business and your kids? How old are your children now?
I've got three children. Well, two are stepchildren, two boys. And then I have Teddy, who's my own child.
And how old is Teddy?
He is 20 months.
Wow.
So that's been challenging. We actually opened the showroom 2 weeks after my C-section. So I was literally hobbling to see this place at the, at the point. Yeah, just it didn't stop. I think I sent an email like the day I gave birth, you know, so nothing stopped. It just kept going. And it is challenging, but, you know, it's also rewarding because he can see, like, the boys, especially, like, the older one, he actually did a project on Pam Levin. He said, "Nikki, I actually Googled you and everything came up, so it was so easy for me to write this project."
Aww.
I was
like, sweet.
It was really cute. And he sent me it and I was like, oh my God. And it just, it makes it all worthwhile, you know, when, and then hopefully Teddy will feel the same. But I actually listened to one of your podcasts and I think you had someone on that said, you know, 20 minutes is enough to spend with your child a day to make it, you know, like, yeah, really quality time. Yeah. And I do feel that I always try and do a bit more than that, obviously. But, you know, I feel like that we get quality time together, you know.
Mm. Yes. And I have two children. My oldest son's actually 18. He's at university in Scotland. Wow. And my daughter, who lives here, she's 10, Amelia. So, yeah, I mean, like Nikki says, we're really trying to show the kids that we're trying to work hard towards building something for the future and also for them. Mm. Obviously, it's hard for me. My son's not here, but he comes back and forward and I go back to Scotland to see him. But he's honestly far too busy to even hang about with his brother. But yeah, Amelia's great. We named one of our best-selling books after in the very beginning. And like Nikki says, the quality time, the weekends is good. And every morning I get her up, get ready for school, I spend time in the evening. So although we're working hard, like, we're still present in the times we can.
Yeah, and I guess the bigger the business gets, you're obviously still very involved, but you're growing the team to be doing more of the day-to-day, and you're doing more of the overseeing and managerial.
I mean, in the very early days, like, we did work 7 days a week.
Yeah, I bet.
I remember just before when we were actually, so we ran the social status and Pam Levin, like, 50-50. Mm. So it was crazy busy. We were literally, like, dealing with, like, social clients shoots, then, like, delivering products on the weekends, taking content, uploading product, doing ads. Like, it literally was non-stop. I think it was worth it. And obviously now we do have, like, we've got really good staff that we can rely on. We're still building, we're still a relatively smallish company, but now we do have people that we can lean on.
So yeah, amazing. Help.
Can I ask, what are your, like, parenting non-negotiables? Like, what will you not miss? You know, are you insistent on being there for pick up or drop off or bedtime or bath time? Like, for you, what is really important and what stops you having that guilt? Because I know we all feel it as working parents.
I mean, I make sure I'm home for bath time every day. Like, that's like a non-negotiable for me. And then getting up in the morning with him, "Do you want to watch TV with mummy?" Yeah. That's all you get from yeah. Okay, so then we have like half an hour TV time on my phone, just lying in bed. Like, I love that. Oh. Yeah, like I said, the bath time and then the weekends. And we also have a Friday off, so we try and, you know, do something fun together.
That's nice.
So yeah, I would say that for me.
I always go to all the school, like, events and things. Like, my daughter does athletics. She started doing quite a lot more this year. So I always make sure that I go to things that she can make sure somebody's there waving in the crowds. I'm always home for her at night. We always eat together.
Yeah, that's nice.
Unless there's something that would completely stop that. But I'd say 99% I'm home for dinner. And we always have, like, a family meal together. And then I also like to put her to bed. She still likes to snuggle with her mum, thank goodness, while she's 10. But, yeah, the family side of things is really important to us. Mm. I think that actually having our own business actually makes it slightly easier. When I was a fashion buyer, like, I travelled all over the world. I was never really around for my children. And I think actually having the independence to do your own thing.
Yeah, just like running your diary and,
you know, of course.
You can manipulate it to what needs to be.
Sure, but I am going to come back on that because I obviously, you know, I run my own business. Well, if we count this as a business, then two businesses.
Absolutely.
But I think sometimes I really miss someone saying to me, "Right, you're going to go and sit in the office from 9 till 5 and you have no choice." So that choice is totally taken away from you. Whereas I find my daily struggle is, do I work or do I spend time with the kids? Yeah. And as a result, I try and sandwich the two together and then I do a shit job of both. Yeah. And I'm sitting there trying to play with them whilst I'm on my phone. Yeah. It's something I'm desperately trying to build boundaries around. Yeah. But it is hard. And the guilt, I think, look, I haven't been in a job for an actual job, 9 to 5 job for a very, very long time. So I'm not sure, you might be able to answer this a bit better. But the guilt I feel sometimes when I'm working and I can hear them outside is so bad. I sometimes just wish I wasn't here. You know, you could leave the door, you can get into your office. You're just a totally different person. Whereas I feel like when you run your own business, you do find that you're having to wear both those hats almost at the same time. Mm. And you're never totally focused on one. Mm. Do you ever feel like that, or is that just me? I mean, your kids are a bit older. I'm still deep in those trenches.
That's what I was going to say. I think with Nikki as well, with Teddy being so young, I think it's a lot harder. You know, Amelia's at school every day. She's not around.
What time do they finish school at 10?
Quite early. Well, they have after school activities.
Okay, great.
So this helps.
Yeah, so in the morning, there's so some days, like, she leaves for school at 6:30 because she's got cheerleading at 7. And
6:30? Mm-hmm. Cheerleading?
Yeah, in the morning.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, really.
Love this. Squad. I feel like Dubai's half American.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, cheer squad.
I want to
like
see that.
The DBS Diamonds. We're up at 5:30, like every morning without fail. Get up, we have breakfast, we get ready for the day. Amelia goes to school.
She's up at 5:30.
Yes.
That is impressive.
It is, yeah. We do go to bed quite early, honestly. But yeah, we get up, I go to the gym, Amelia gets ready for school. And then after school, she finishes at 2:30, but usually there's an after school activity.
Mm.
So it's 3:30 pickup. So normally she's home for about 4, and normally, honestly, I can get home for like 5:30.
Yeah, see, the older they get,
I mean, we've got to wait to the age of 10 for only 3:30.
You've got a long way to go. I know.
Yeah, but I thought you were going to be like 5. I'd be like, great. 3:30?
Oh, on a Friday, 12:30.
Oh, Fridays are a
And normally joke. I go and I usually try and pick up Amelia on a Friday and we go for a sneaky McDonald's.
Love this.
Yeah. But usually that on a Friday we're like, let's go. Yeah, we get straight to get the chicken.
But I do think for you as well, because you've got a showroom now, you are out the house.
Yeah.
So you can kind of separate a bit.
I like that. I like getting out. And
yeah.
I mean, obviously with the stage that our kids are at, which are quite similar, it's when you get the messages or the videos, you know, which is constant from the nannies.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, he said this today. And you're like, oh, shit, I missed that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I love the updates, but then I'm like, oh, this is everything I'm missing.
Yeah. But yeah, stuff. I mean, you just try and just try. You just have to get on with it, really. Yeah. I mean, like my partner, like my husband always says to me, like, they're not going to remember it anyway, you know? So just be there when you can.
And you have your quality time with them,
but
you're not just a mother.
Yeah, of course.
And you need to do what you're passionate about.
I couldn't be a stay-at-home mum. I just couldn't. For some people, it's certainly not for me.
It's not for me.
No.
At all.
How do you feel about playroom play when you have to sit in the playroom and play?
Oh.
Is that something that you enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a kitchen, so he loves the little kitchen, but
Playroom play is, for me, like,
I've never heard of this saying.
Yeah, so you know parents are like, go and play with your, you know, play with your children.
Oh.
And I'm like, playing in the playroom, or just playing. Oh. I really can't cope.
Oh, you don't like
I love going to, like, swimming. I'll take you to the park. I'll take you riding. We'll go out and explore. Mm-hmm. We'll go on an adventure. Great. Sitting in the playroom, I don't know why. I don't know whether I'm just wired this way.
I think it's yours are maybe a bit older.
Yeah, I've not experienced that yet.
Because Bodie now always wants me to play. He always wants me to play, and then whatever. No, you're doing it wrong. No, not that card. No, not that.
No, I've not got those words yet.
Not fun.
See, I just get mummy do it for me. I'm like, well, what's the point of this? Why? Why am I here? Like, you know, I'm 34. I don't need to be doing the 2-year-old's puzzle, please.
Anyway, talking, going back to businesses and having your own business.
Mm.
What are your recommendations, words of wisdom for anyone who might be considering starting a business? Because there's so many things to navigate here.
Oh, yeah.
Licenses, the bank account, everything. Where do you start?
Yeah, I mean, again, I touched on it earlier, like people, like advisors, partners, family, friends, get as much, you know, just consume as much information as possible. Like, look out for companies that offer even business advice, because I always say, like, have a how and have a why. And if you have to still ask yourself, how am I going to do this? You're not ready yet.
Yeah.
But as soon as you've got that and it clicks, just like, yeah, just go for it. Like, that's what I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with Nikki. I think if you really believe in what you want to do, that's your first step. You know, if you do something that you're passionate about, make sure you've got enough financial reserves in case things don't go quite as planned. Have all the knowledge, like Nikki says, get people that have been in the industry for a long time that can advise you and give you professional help. We've got a great company we work with on the visas and the setups at Lux, which is great. Yeah.
Game changer.
Absolutely.
Get help with that shit, because that is, God, it's a headache.
Yeah.
That
and
is
I actually
a minefield.
No headspace.
Like, we're so lucky, and we know quite a lot of people. Nikki's been here a lot longer than me, actually. So she had a lot of network, and luckily I could tap into that as well, which is great. So yeah.
What about things like setting up the license, setting up bank accounts? Because for me, still now, I'm not going to name and shame my bank, but my God.
They're all the same.
It winds me up no end. And it's just things like the stupidity around checks.
Honestly, paperwork about paperwork.
Oh,
like,
God.
Per trees, like, seriously.
Literally. Yeah. I mean, it's the whole process. It's like pulling teeth
print
sometimes.
Print this, sign this, stamp this.
Deliver it in hand. Yeah. I'm like, no, I will email it to you.
Who even has a checkbook these days? Like, seriously.
Someone actually asked me to write a check the other day.
Don't even know what it is.
No clue.
Where would that be? No. I mean, luckily, Nikki deals with all that stuff for me.
Yeah, lucky
I mean,
you.
We've got an amazing corporation services. It's one of my really good friends, Jenna. So she helps me with all of the visas and the licensing, but even bank accounts, you know, but you could be 6 months from a bank account, depending on what type of business. And then, you know, if you have a free zone or a mainland, you know, it can affect the bank account. So yeah, just as I said before, know the right people and speak to them.
Doing the business that you do, do you have to be in a free zone or onshore?
Yeah.
You have to be mainland.
Because our showroom is on the mainland, you have to have a mainland license. So.
Ooh, so interesting.
Because previously our business before was
free zone.
So what happened was we actually had to set up a whole new business and a new license when we moved to the show.
Bring your checkbook.
Like on top of obviously the rent, the renovations, like everything, we also then had to reinvest because the company we had before was able to trade both marketing and interiors. So yeah, we had to set up a new company as well.
My favourite thing is I recently wanted to change my free zone. And for anybody who wants to do this, this is a little tip for you. So I didn't want to be of the free zone I was with anymore, wanted to change. And they said, if I did that, then I'd have to shut down my bank account. Yeah. But then I would have to totally rename my company because you can't re-register it.
You have
with
to pay
the same
to close it down also.
Yeah. I was like, what stupidity is this? I feel like when they get you, you're in. It's like you're not wiggling. You're staying where you are. Mm-hmm. So yeah, me and my free zone are going to be besties forevs.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that. So excited.
In terms of your relationship, you obviously said you were friends first. So what is your work dynamic like? You said you focus more on the setting up side of the business. Do you have different strengths and you therefore stick in your lanes to certain things?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that, like we said previously, we're quite different and we found that having different strengths is really good for this business in particular. I work more on the creative side, like client facing, interior design, coming up with the furniture designs, ideas, picking all the
material. All the fun stuff, actually.
Yes. I was about to say, that
Do you know what
really
I mean?
Fun.
Like, I'll be sitting at the back with the licensing
Nikki,
and the HR and like, I deal with the staff, like in terms of what holidays they're getting and then make a mistake and they're all on holiday at the same time.
Yeah, you've pulled the short straw.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then making sure the company's making some money.
Yeah, I like to spend the money. Nikki likes to bank it. So I nicknamed the banker.
Yeah, but I get called the banker. Go and speak to the banker. Okay.
I mean, the thing is, like, you do love that stuff.
I love running the business. Like, and I come up with all the ideas as well, to be fair. I am the ideas woman.
I mean, well, okay. I do have a few up my sleeve. No, and Nikki likes to, you know, likes to be in control of running things, and I'm happy to take lead on the creative aspect. Building in the panel and brands, like coming up with the concept, how we produce our content on socials, how we do the website, how we have the showroom interior. Yeah, for me it is all the fun stuff, but it's also what makes the brand what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Instagram is all credit to Karen. Like, she absolutely smashes it. She's every little detail is perfection.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, so rewarding though, isn't it? That's yours and that's your baby.
Yeah,
and I guess you have that background in fashion and design, so you've taken that through now. Do you design all your own pieces?
Yes, definitely. So we design, we come up with design concepts. We look at what's trending. I actually go and look for the stones, the marbles, like I look for all different color schemes. Like, really, most of my job is I'm the creative director, so it's really to keep that creative juice flowing through the company and to be able to diversify into new things. You know, as trends change and as things move, you need to be like quick to move, because or else you'll just get left behind. It's very, very similar to fashion. You've just got to know what's coming and be able to anticipate that trend.
What's coming?
New kitchens. Palm Living Kitchen.
Shut up.
Yeah. I know, right?
Can I? I'm gonna show you my kitchen.
We already spied it.
Yes,
the smartness. Yeah. Oh, it's very techie, isn't it? Oh. It's a techie kitchen.
Kitchens are really sexy now in Dubai at the moment. Like every client's like, we need a kitchen, and I'm like, no problem, it's coming. Yeah, we're
just about to launch Pam Living Kitchens.
Yeah.
So. Can you show us some sneak pictures after this?
Absolutely. Yes, actually, yesterday was in the factory.
Flipping love a kitchen.
I'm obsessed with this kitchen. The one that we're actually doing a full renovation in Tiara. And the kitchen is so cool. Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. I just can't wait to get it all finished and get all the marble done.
Can I ask, are you into property buying yourselves?
Yeah, we are.
Do you do your own little flippings?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, we do.
Oh.
Yeah, we have two on the market at the moment, but they're actually Airbnb'd. So
really?
Yeah, we're trying to get in to get viewings is the hardest part because we've made it obviously Pam Living aesthetic, so the Airbnb kind of kicked off, didn't it?
I bet they
were just like, oh yeah, but I'm just worried what they've left it in, but I'm hoping
this is like my dream. This is my next plan.
Well, come talk to us.
We will do all the work for you.
That's
all
very
you have
kind.
To do is like get it
give
on.
Us the keys.
Buy the place.
We do this for clients. So basically a lot of clients out with what we do is in furniture retail and interior design. A lot of clients will give us their house or apartments and say, look, the end use is I want to do a high-end rental or Airbnb, whatever. So we'll just do the whole project, like the full renovation. We just finished quite a few projects actually last month, and a lot of people want to rent out their property and now, or sell it actually. We're doing some staging for people as well.
Oh, nice.
There's obviously property market's completely crazy booming at the moment, and what gives a lot.
Everyone's doing a rental.
Yeah, everyone is.
Which
rental.
Is great.
Like, reno, reno, reno.
Yeah, we're like, yeah.
Have you driven down our street? I mean,
yeah, every signboard's up like, I think
we'll be putting these through the doors. But yeah, the thing is, we also do renovations as well. So we can do everything really, the full scale.
So some people come to you and just pick literally a piece of furniture out the showroom.
This was us.
Right, yep.
How we discovered you guys.
Yes. Yes. Amazing.
Right through to
full homes.
Do whatever you want to this room. Mm. Do they give you a lot of flexibility? Is it really dependent on the kind of client that you have?
Yeah, I always say to clients, you know, you can be as involved as little or as much as you want. Like you can literally, like Karen said, we've had clients that hand the keys over, give us their sort of
vibe.
And
I'm like,
I don't know why. But yeah, they say like, you know, just get it done. I'm going, you know, on holiday for 3 weeks or I'm traveling wherever.
Amazing.
And then we get it done. And then there's some people who really want to be involved like to every single detail, which is also fun, but
is it though?
I think you like the creative, just like,
you can
do
say
what
no.
you want.
It's really good when you do have a client who really has, say they've got a real passion for interiors, right? And you know, we can make their home come to life, and it's great. Like when we did one of our first projects ever, actually we did with Brittany, it was amazing because she had a really strong view on how she wanted her home to be. She wanted to renovate her home to turn it into like a place she could do social content for a fashion brand and also rent it out. It's called Villa Blanc, actually, nice. So on that project,
so you've got a clear brief.
Yeah,
you know what they want.
So
it's probably the indecisive ones that are worse. You do something, then actually, no, I don't like that, but I don't know what I want.
It's either one way or the other is better, not in the middle.
Yeah.
I think like most people, they come to us for our brand aesthetics. Like if they wanted something multicolored and graffiti, they wouldn't really come to us.
Mm.
We could do that. However, it's not really our vibe. And the designers who work with us, we all have the same kind of aesthetic. So mostly when people come, it's more a case of they want, or they'll just say like, oh, can you make our home look like your showroom? And we're like, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. So that has happened quite a lot of time. So we'll put together mood boards, room plans, colour storyboards, and really it's just a sign off on fabrics and styles and sizes. So yeah, and then we can do it so quickly. Like we can turn a full house around within 4 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, it's really fast. Like we used to be a bit quicker, but as we got slightly busier, we had to add on a little bit of time. But yeah, we're pretty fast in the market. We make everything here in Dubai.
Mm.
Everything's locally sourced, which is really good as well.
Helps.
4 weeks. There you go, Marianne, for the next house.
There we go. We can do it.
Next project. Just coming on to materials. So I know you guys do a lot of marble, and you also do a lot of mixed products as well, and mixing materials. Yeah. Just on marble specifically, if we are wanting to buy a marble piece, let's say we want to buy a marble dining table, what kind of marbles should we be going for? What marbles are more sturdy than others? Because I know for a fact that travertine is not one that you want to be eating your dinner on.
Well,
especially my one in the house with the holes in it.
Oh, definitely not.
I've got mine unfilled and I'm actually regretting it.
No, why?
I love the rustic look. However, when he's eating his dinner and then obviously throws things, as you know, and then it's down the hall.
It's also...
Get the Hoover suction in.
Over time, I find travertine... It kind of
porous. It's very
and it disintegrates. Actually, that's the word.
It's limestone.
Yes.
So it's very robust, but it also it's not as strong as marble. So we do sell travertine tables, but at the moment we're selling a lot of quartz as well. And the quartz is really robust. It's really strong. It's much more resistant to water stains and things. So we're using quite a lot of quartz. Also Calcutta marbles, Italian marbles, we're using quite a lot as well. I'm quite obsessed with the swirly, whirly designs of marble. So mostly the Calcutta and the travertine as well we do use. But yeah, we would say better to have the tables polished and filled if it's travertine, because the rustic,
if you think so,
the rustic vibe is beautiful. But when you have little kids with little crumbs and the little crevices, it's not so good. But a lot of people use this for bedrooms if they want a very rustic, like, bedside table. And I don't know if it's just me, but I find, like, natural stone and things really calming and, like...
Agreed,
I'm very much about, like, touching the stone and I feel very grounded. And I think that does... It helps a lot of people as well.
Mm. What about red wine? If I was to pour some red wine on a travertine, I mean, your table would not be happy, would it? But this surely fine.
If it was polished, it would be fine.
Yeah.
Because what happens when they polish it, we also put like a coating on top.
Okay.
I actually have grey travertine in my house and there has been many spillages.
I don't drink red wine, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm a rosy
you're
queen.
A rosy kind of, it's a rosy.
Me too.
I would say if you're going to think you're going to have spillages and you think you're going to have a lot of accidents, have a polished marble, not a rustic, a porous travertine, which will gobble up the red wine.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So then apart from kitchens, what else? What else? What else is coming, guys?
I mean...
Spill the beans.
Do we tell? I don't know.
Spill the beans!
This is gonna be
you can't do this now.
It's going to be a big announcement.
I mean, is it?
Okay, so yeah, we're just about to launch Pam Living Real Estate.
Shut up!
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Are you going to be buying and selling?
Well, a real estate agency.
Shut the fuck up. should we go and work for them?
Yeah.
Do you have a broker's license?
Yeah, no, but my husband...
It's not in real estate.
He is. It's property.
Oh, I guess
kind
so.
Of is. He buys and sells sheds for Amazon. I mean, so, you know.
Same.
It is. Same. Kind of.
Yeah.
I think he has to.
Sheds. I think they might be a bit bigger.
They're a bit bigger. They're a bit bigger than sheds. Yeah, sorry. Saws at him. Lol.
But, I mean, it's something that we spoke about, you know, and sometimes with Nikki, which you'll get to realise when you meet her, that she's like a dog with a bone. So yeah, sometimes she's like, oh, we should do this, we should do that. And then this real estate thing, she kept going on and on about it. And I was like,
it's a very good idea.
I said, like, yeah, I mean, it's a natural progression, you know, what we do. Yeah.
Especially if you're staging stuff.
Well, our brand is, you know, we've got almost 43,000 followers, right, on the page. We do so much staging for, like you said, for clients. And then it's like, oh, do you know anyone that could list this sort of thing? So, you know, if we have both, then it can...
We work together.
Yeah, definitely.
Before we say goodbye, we're going to ask for one tip and one product. I think if you're going to leave us with some nuggets, what are they going to be?
For me, like, my favourite product we've ever had and still is a very firm favourite with our clients is the Esme Cloud Chair. It's literally the best.
The Cloud.
It's literally the coolest chair. It's actually, we kind of call it the love chair. It's really for two, but mostly people sit on it one. It's got really cool footstool. You can just chill, have coffee, read.
It's great for nurseries, actually, for feeding.
Yeah, exactly.
So all the mums out there, it's good to have in the nurse. I've got one in Teddy's nursery. I sit on it when I need to, like, cuddle him in and,
so
you know.
Nice. It's just such a cool chair.
It's like, so cool.
I've got three in my house, don't even ask.
I actually, when I remember having this fight with my husband, I really wanted a Cloud, and he was like, no, you don't need it for breastfeeding. I was like, because you would know, wouldn't you?
Because
you've breastfed so many babies in your time, twat. And then we got it after I'd finished breastfeeding, and I was like, well, what's the point in this now? So I'm now like, you're going to have to give me another child.
Yeah.
I will win that battle. I'll wear him down.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I mean,
quite determined.
Let's be honest. He's what's he? He's an April. He's a Taurus, actually.
Taurus. Yeah,
but Taurus can be quite fiery.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, my mother's a Taurus. She's fiery. Oh. My daughter's a Taurus. She is fiery.
Mm. Both my brothers are too, to be fair. So
it's quite funny. But yeah, I think we all know who's going to win the fight on the new baby.
Obvious, very obvious.
Yeah.
Okay, and then so what is your tip?
Tip, less is more. It would be my tip. I hate clutter. I hate so much going on. If I was to, you know, put my interior hat on, since obviously I would say less is more.
I love that. And for anyone who wants to reach out and say hi, where can they find you guys?
I'm on Instagram. We've got PamLivingAE. We reply to all our messages like within the next like few minutes. We're really happy to chat to people. And also we've got our showroom in Elkhouse.
Love it.
Which we are in all day, every day, Monday to Thursday. And we're open 7 days a week from 10. So yeah, we're happy for people to come down, view our furniture, even have a coffee.
We've come
down. It's got the nicest coffee machine.
Yes, you do. I've had one.
Yeah, do you know, it's so nice, isn't it? Yeah, just come have a look around. Yeah. No obligation to pay. I'll chat to everybody.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Honestly, no joke. I like the company.
Fabulous, guys. And as always, everyone, if you've liked this episode, feel free to leave us a comment, rate, review, subscribe. I'd love to hear from you. And you can find us on Instagram at We Are Mother Tongue. Ladies, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on Mother Tongue today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Mother Tongue. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and leave a comment. We always love to hear from you. Your support really means the world to us. And if you know any mums or mums-to-be who'd be interested in listening to our podcast, please feel free to share. You can also find us on Instagram at We Are Mother Tongue. Until next time, mamas.